morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 50 minutes or so, 55 today. This is a show. We've done a show on this before, and got a lot of questions and feedback, positive feedback. So we're going to do it again. And the two beautiful people, and I mean, well, one guy could use some work, but the two beautiful people, Rev Tor, and the wonderful Kim Cotter. I can't thank you both for being on. They are the grandparents of a young girl who has this disease, and we're going to take it from birth to current. And it was a real challenge, this disease, to be diagnosed, to get treatment. And all of a sudden, it's gone into a wonderful story of human endeavor, human trial, and the desire for mom and grandma and grandpa to just push to get some kind of resolution so this child could have a normal life. It is a heartwarming story. I'm doing it at this time of the year because we all need to face our challenges that are going to be in 2023. And I thought, these folks, I've seen some real challenges. And I think the world of both of them. So just give me 1 minute and we'll get to it. Sunday breakfast, Pittsfield Elk Lodge, number 272. Sunday, January the 15th, 9 a.m. to 11. The cost is $10. Two eggs include an omelet or French toast or pancakes, served with bacon, sausage, home fries, toast, juice, coffee, or tea. Then, on January the 11th, they're going to have a pasta, meatball, and sausage salad bread and dessert. I will tell you, this is a adults $10. You can't beat this for a meal. 4:30 to 6:30 at the Elks, same place. And right across the street from Barrington Stage Company. If you haven't been there, there is parking. So don't miss out on it. One last thing, and you can get this. You can do https://special.usps.com/test kits. You get them free from the government. You can get four individual rapid test kits from the government. I mailed away for some just because it's that time of the year. So now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, two of my favorite people. Your story is inspiring, and your daughter's story is absolutely inspiring. So, Kim, you want to kick it off and tell us, first of all, tell us the acronym for that, which you gave me, and it's right. Give me a minute to find it. You know what you're dealing with here. This isn't your first time in the pool. DMDD.
That's correct. DMDD, disruptive mood dysregulation disorder.
And your granddaughter was diagnosed with that.
Yes. Kyra, she just turned 10 a couple of weeks ago. She was diagnosed, what do you think, a couple years ago? When she was
4 years ago, I think.
4 years ago.
Wow.
With DMDD, she just didn't outgrow the two-year-old temper tantrums. They escalated, and we were fortunate enough to be able to send her out to Tor's sister in California, who was able to have formal diagnosis. And
wow. Yeah, my sister works in that field out west in California, and we were very lucky to be able to send her out, and one of her colleagues did a full evaluation on her, and we were able to get that diagnosis, which even getting the proper diagnosis is difficult around here, you know. So that's kind of where it started. We finally, nobody could really figure out what was going on with Kyra. She was having these outbursts, you know, we started calling them episodes, where she, like Kim said, the best way to equate it is children, you know, when they're younger and they're toddlers, they have temper tantrums, very normal, right? Children with DMDD never really outgrow that. And as they get older, they still have those temper tantrums. So things that trigger them are when they feel like something's not fair, or if they're feeling trapped or picked on, or, you know, a lot of times it's this very similar things that would trigger a toddler. When they get older and they have these episodes, it's much more extreme. Now they're a bigger kid that could actually be physical and could hurt somebody, or, you know, God forbid, grab a pair of scissors or something. And, you know, they can be violent episodes. And we couldn't, you know, Kyra's mom, Courtney, was fit to be tied. We were fit to be tied. We couldn't figure out, the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on with her. She was being sent to, you know, different hospitals, and they didn't know what to do. They were treating it like it was ADHD, which it very much is not. It can actually make it worse if you treat it incorrectly. So ultimately getting that diagnosis was the first step in this whole journey. And it was such a huge part of it. And we were very lucky to be, you know, in the position where my sister could make that happen, because it's, you know,
it's not easy.
It's not easy. And it's not cheap. It's not, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, once we had the diagnosis, they came back, and finding the treatment for it was what we've been struggling with the last several years. Kyra was hospitalized at Four Winds Hospital in Saratoga 5 or 6 times. She had a lengthy stay last year from October through January, which she wasn't able to be home for the holidays, for her birthday. And we wouldn't see any progress when she would come out of the hospital. She gained a lot of weight. She, you know,
because of the medications they had her on, which is not, you know.
You know, she was very monotone. You would talk to her and she was very flatlined while she was in there. She came home and she had said to me at one point, "Nana, I know that I don't look happy on the outside, but I am grateful and I'm happy." But she had no emotion at all. They had so many medications. So this was just about a year ago in January. And so they kept fluctuating with her medications, and her outbursts were incredibly dangerous. Yeah. It would take several adults to hold her down. They would, you know, be driving through Albany and she'd try to jump out of a car. It was very, very serious and very scary. Lots of 911 calls. Fortunately, they live across the street from a fire department and police station, whom they all became very familiar with because the calls were several times a week. And we knew what was happening wasn't working. We ended up in Albany Med Pediatric ER for, what was it, like 6 days?
Yeah.
We stayed at the ER because the mental health team there knew it was a problem, but they had no answers and no facilities available for Kyra.
Nobody knew how to treat it. Nobody in the professional psychiatric medical world could figure out how to treat her. The hospitals at Four Winds ultimately would not take her back, because they said there was nothing they could do for her. So it was creating this dangerous situation where Kyra had nowhere to go except be home. And mom couldn't, you know, when these episodes would happen, mom couldn't handle it. She'd be calling the police. It was this horrible, vicious cycle that was happening. And there was, and while this was going on, you know, to her credit, Kyra's mother, Courtney, Kim's daughter, had done, you know, she's on her own. She started researching and she found a doctor, his name's Dr. Matthews, who had started, I think we talked a little bit about this protocol that we were trying to get for her. At that point, we hadn't been able to get her on it yet. Courtney really did a lot of research and found out that there was this protocol of medicines that works for these kids. And basically what it is it, these episodes, well, DMDD, what causes it is there's a lack of dopamine to the frontal lobe.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that's the part of the brain that regulates, you know,
mood,
right? And then when these kids would have these episodes, it was very much like almost like a seizure. He noticed they would have this episode afterwards. It would, a lot of times fall asleep or not remember what happened. And so the effects were, he said, you know, he noticed they were very similar to a seizure. It was almost like an emotional seizure, right?
Okay.
So he started experimenting with seizure medications combined with medications that would put the dopamine into the frontal lobe. And he found a combination that works. And it's the medications are, I'm going to probably not pronounce these correctly. The seizure medication is trilipitol.
Okay.
And the dopamine agonist is amantadine. Okay.
Okay.
So he found the combination of these two medications worked incredibly well for these kids. And he started a clinic and he started a study. And this is out, I think, in
Texas.
I think it was in Texas. Yeah. And he started doing research and he started documenting it. But it was never really fully embraced by the medical community and the psychiatric community. It's off script. You're using medication for a different purpose than what it's intended for. But the results are undeniable. Other parents'
studies
and testimonials from these other parents, and they were like, it's life changing. My kid is a normal kid all of a sudden. My kid doesn't even have to be in therapy anymore. Absolutely life changing. But you can't get a hospital around here to adapt that protocol and use it because, for one thing, it's too new. I think there's like a standard time that a study needs to exist before it can be accepted. I don't know if it's 15 years, 20 years, something like that.
An efficacy study. Well, you know that I just will say this, but first let me say one thing. Then I'll say that what I want to say. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyre in the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti in the city council. And that's kind of the way it is. But I will make this comment, and this is my comment. They didn't do a 15-year efficacy study on the COVID virus. So let's vaccine. So we're going to continue on. You have to hear the whole story. Please stay tuned. It's, you know, I'm sitting here now thinking of a child who may have this ailment because of outbursts and violent. And Kim and Tor said this. And if you recognize Tor, he and I do a lot of entertaining together. He does the singing, I do the clapping. But they're just people like us. That's what they are. And they had this in their life. And you guys, just take a minute and how it affected your daughter's life and your lives, because you never knew what was going to set it off. Kim, you want to take a shot at that?
Sure. So my daughter wasn't able to work for a couple of years. Kyra was uneducated, wasn't able to attend school. You know, it was, everything was on Kyra time. So if Kyra didn't want to get up and go to school because an episode might happen, she was not getting her up and getting her to school. If she did get her to school, it could be at noontime. Their lives were truly crippled with this for a couple of years. And, you know, it affected our overall family too, because of Kyra being dangerous around the other grandchildren, that we had to keep this distance with that too. And traveling time, it was, you know, going to the mall and getting a pair of shoes, there could be an outburst and the police would be called. It truly took their lives over.
Yeah.
We were so desperate last spring with Tor and Courtney, my daughter, working really hard to try to find someone who would do the Dr. Matthews protocol.
Right, right.
As Tor had said, you know, Four Winds was no longer willing to take Kyra. We spent those days in Albany Med Pediatric ER with them saying, you know, we don't know what to do. We were going through the entire state of New York trying to find help. Tor traveled down to Westchester with them to look at facilities. They went into a facility and the staff there did not know how to treat DMDD and triggered Kyra immediately.
Yeah.
So we were at a complete loss. And that's when Tor decided to start doing some fundraising and getting the word out there. At that point, we thought that our only option was in residential care. That was it in New Mexico? And the fee was something like $150,000 a year, which they would offer the Dr. Matthews protocol, along with treating the other pieces of the brain with a lot of activity, because it's not just about the medication.
Right, 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 right.
So when we started fundraising, we thought that that was our only option. And we were feeling very far away from that type of funding and how that would work if my daughter would have to move, you know, to a whole new state. So Tor was great and got the word out there. We had a fundraiser and, you know, this was in April.
Yeah.
Then by chance, my daughter found a doctor in New York, spoke with this doctor, and she was willing to put the research in and look at into the Dr. Matthews protocol. She called my daughter on a Saturday evening and said, oh my God, this is exactly what your daughter needs. I'm going to call tomorrow on a Sunday and call in these prescriptions and I want you to start it immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was in May. Kyra, it took a little while to get her up to the right dosage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about a 3-month process, I think. But immediately when she started the medications, there was a noticeable difference. Right out of the gate, she stopped having episodes. She has not had an episode since May.
she still gets triggers.
Right.
And you see a trigger happen where her body motion, we had gone school shopping and she was unhappy with the fact that she had to keep trying on pants. And she comes out of the dressing room and her body motion, and you know, we've got a little trauma from, okay, yeah, what's like, going to happen? You know, her little body motion starts getting anxious. She walked away, sat on a bench, took a few minutes, came back and hugged us both and apologized and said, I was feeling triggered, but I'm okay now.
Isn't that amazing? You know, just kind of for the folks, I've known Tor and Kim for a while, and as they went through this, and they were traumatic episodes. And as the child grew up, and both Tor's a big guy, but Kim isn't. As the child grew up, there was this real danger of somebody getting hurt, grandkids or Kim or the daughter. So, really became invested in this research. I became invested in them as friends and what they go through. And there's so many people who some may be listening to this or viewing this program that have similar issues. And especially this time of the year, let's remember that. And the backstory here, I believe, is it took forever to find the doctor that would prescribe it, even though the child, I guess, I hate to use this term, but what do you have to lose? You know what I'm saying? You have a child having these episodes. This Dr. Matthews' protocol is working, has been researched, is being researched. Why not give it a shot? What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
My hat's off to both of you. I without betraying friendships or anything, you both have been saints with this, and you've given and given and given, and I can't. What great grandparents you are.
You know, I do want to say too, and just take this opportunity to, when we did do that fundraiser last April.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was, and a lot of people came out and supported us and Kyra, and, you know, even though it didn't, and we didn't end up using it in the way we thought we were going to have to use the funds.
Right.
What it did do was it allowed Courtney to survive and live and be home and be a full-time mom.
Yeah.
And make sure that Kyra was safe and deal with what Kyra was going through on a full-time basis, because she couldn't work and she couldn't pay her rent. And that directly led to Courtney being able to find this doctor and get her onto this protocol. So we just want to take a minute and really let everyone know that was part of that fundraising effort, that, you know, their efforts really did help and directly lead to a solution that so far has been amazing for Kyra. And we just want to thank everybody so much for supporting us and supporting Kyra.
And she's back in school.
She's back at school. She called us 2 weeks ago with good news. She was so excited that she got to move from the small bus to the big bus.
Wow. Wow. I never got off the small bus, but that's okay. You probably all know why.
She was just, it was like a Christmas gift for her. She was so excited. She is up getting ready for school. She has lost so much weight. She's in 8 dance classes a week.
Wow.
She's even dancing for team right now. My daughter's working 2 jobs.
Well, it's a miracle.
We celebrate her birthday with her this year.
Wow.
She was here and we had a big birthday celebration. We're going to all be together for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
It's it's amazing the difference in what this has done for her. And it's, you know, in combination of the medication, it's also the activity level.
Yep.
They, kids with DMDD need to be incredibly active.
Yes.
So these dance classes are the other piece of the success here.
Yep.
I just can't tell you the growth I've seen in your granddaughter, but also on YouTube. I remember when we first did this show about this DMDD, you guys were as tight as a $2 watch, and I could understand why. This is, I don't want to say traumatic, but it's certainly dramatic when it happens. And I know you and I came without giving up, you know, conversations. As your granddaughter got older, you got worried about who could get hurt by her. And she never meant it. That's the craziest part of this disease. When we come back from the break, we'll take us through an episode, okay? Because the part, and one of the things, I was talking with a pediatrician friend of mine, and he said the trigger, the episode, the remorse, the whole, it was just, and I think Tor hit it properly. It was an episode. It wasn't an outburst, because it went on. An outburst is, and it's over. I mean, that's my unlicensed medical opinion. We're going to take a break. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. But more importantly, this time of the year, everybody has to understand. They have to understand that there are a lot of people out there who are in need of many, many things. Please, as I tell you at the end of every show, take care of each other. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to take care of some wonderful people who've been through some traumatic things. And everybody's moving on now. We found a solution, and everybody's moving on. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, though. We're simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. And we'll be right back in about 1 minute. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I am here with two wonderful people, grandparents, people who have lived through some trauma. I think that's fair to say, and have made it through, but with persistence. They found a treatment for their granddaughter who was suffering from DMDD, we'll tell you what that is. But pay attention to the show, because there's so many good things that come out of it. It should put us all with the ability to face the new year, that nothing is insurmountable, because they lived through several years of being told there was nothing that could be done. So I have Kim Cotter, she's the good looking one. And the big guy is Rev Tor. We're an item in the entertainment world. He entertains and I clap. So, but their daughter suffered from DMDD. Kim, what is that?
So it's my granddaughter, Kyra.
Yeah.
It's Disruptive mood dysregulation disorder.
It's just give a 30,000 foot overview of an episode.
So Kyra would have triggers. You know, things would upset her that wouldn't normally upset another child. Her perception of emotion is very escalated. So she could perceive something as very negative that yeah. may just be a normal thing, which is very trying with other children. And in an episode, you start to see her body language and even her eyes dilate. Like she gets very antsy, her feet go up and down, and then she goes into an outburst. There's really no reasoning with her at that point. She doesn't hear you. You can't talk to her. She was in some very, very dangerous situations. It became very physical, very aggressive, very abusive. There was a situation here once that my other granddaughter said something to her that triggered her. And she completely cleared off the counter, went storming out the door, completely out of control. My daughter and I out there tackling her to the ground to prevent her from going into the road. Then, you know, sitting on her and holding her down to keep her safe.
Yeah.
While she is having this episode that's completely out of control physically and mentally. You know, you don't know when you're allowed to let her up because you don't know when the safety. So, you know, you may go through it and let her up for a moment to realize she's not quite there yet. Afterwards, she is so remorseful.
Yeah.
Once she's calmed down, she's exhausted. She's remorseful. She's crying. She's apologetic. She's almost lifeless. Like, you know, she just has no energy from going through that. And there's this overall emotion for everyone. You've just been through, for myself and my daughter, physically hurt, being scared.
Sure.
And we're still, you know, kind of at this escalated point of going through this episode, and now she needs to be comfort. And then she typically will fall asleep because she's so drained and
drained.
So exhausted.
Right.
And doesn't really remember the entire episode. You know, she knows that she had something that wasn't right happen. She knows that she was unsafe and out of control. She knows that much. But it's awful to see. It's awful to go through. And these episodes were 3-4 times a week.
Oh, I think it got to the point where it was daily.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes a few times. If she's having a bad day, it could happen 2-4 times a day sometimes.
And again, I think of people. I got a call one time when I was in the COP that a man was abusing a child. Well, you're a cop. You get a call like that. Your mind is preparing to get there. So I got there and got out of the car and I said, let him go or something, you know. And he said, I can't. He's having an episode. And if I let him go, he'll run into the woods and it'll take us hours for us to find him or for him to come out. So that was my first kind of experience with he. And later on, I found out the child was autistic. He was a teenager, wasn't he? He was a teenager, big kid. And the father, I looked at the father, and you know, sometimes being an old cop, you can sense in the voice that they're not hurting the kid, they're trying to help the kid. And that's what came across to me. This guy isn't abusing the kid. And when he told me that, we got the kid up, and I let him sit in the cruiser, and that settled him down. But I think every time I think of you people, I remember that for myself, how traumatic, I was drained after it. I really was, because he was fired up. And, you know, not a big kid, but a teenager can, you know. But, and then, so Tor's, you reached out to Tor's sister, and she works in California, and we're coming, this all may be a whole new audience, so we got to catch them up.
Yeah, so early on, when Kyra's, you know, when this started to happen with Kyra, I mean, when she was younger, it wasn't as extreme. It got more extreme as she got older. Right. You know, we were trying to figure out what was up with her. And like I said, my sister works out west. She's a therapist. She works with kids. She also works at Stanford University. And she had some colleagues who were willing to take Kyra and test her and do this full cognitive test to really determine and diagnose her. And they diagnosed her with the DMDD.
It was extensive testing.
It was very extensive testing.
It was days.
And, you know, and this is something that's not really accessible to a lot of people. We were extremely lucky to have that resource.
Probably a lot of insurances won't cover it.
Right.
No.
You know, it's not cheap to have a you know, that amount of testing done. So, you know, so we started out by finally having this diagnosis. And then, as I said, Courtney really, from the start, as soon as she got the diagnosis, she started researching. And she's known for quite some time that the answer was the Dr. Matthews protocol. They now call it a brain-based treatment. And some hospitals are finally starting to adapt this. But she went years with not being able to find anyone around here to treat her that way. The hospitals that Kyra would go to didn't want to hear about it. You know, it was next to impossible to find a provider that would, prescribe the medications.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't until everything kind of came to a head last year and we did that fundraiser that Courtney was able to really put the time and energy into finding a provider. And finally she did. And so now Kyra is on this protocol and she's just thriving. She's doing amazing. She's a normal little girl all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know,
we have to remember this kiddo has been going through this. How old is she now? 11, did you say?
10.
All right. So she's been going through it herself. And as Kim outlined in the beginning, she would have the episode, very violent, not just an outburst, a violent episode. Sometimes police would have to be called, whatever. And now all of a sudden, she's a 10-year-old girl.
Yes.
Who, going to school, got off the little bus onto the big bus. Now, for some people, you may not realize how important that is, but boy, she did. And every time there's a plus, that ladder gets longer and longer and longer away from the, you know, away from the outburst. And Karen, I loved what you said about when you're trying on pants. I'm pretty much the same way. I get very irritated when they don't come in my size. I keep telling them 34, and a guy said one leg. I don't know what I mean by that. But tell us about that. That is heartwarming to me.
Yeah, so with Kairos triggers, we always have to be very careful about any situation. And yeah. We were school shopping, and she needed to try on additional pants. And it definitely triggered her. She did not want to try on additional pants. We saw the body language starting to happen. And of course, Courtney and I are both bracing ourselves because it's been years of what could happen next. But instead, she was able to walk away, sit on a bench, take a few minutes. She came back and gave us both a hug and apologized and said, I was feeling triggered, but I took a moment and I feel better now.
You know, just an aside, if any of the doctors define the triggers, what, I mean, I hear that even, I, you know, as a, you know, I work at UCP of Western Mass, but we do much more than cerebral palsy. We do autism and intellectual disabilities and things like that. Some of our kiddos have triggers too. And I often wonder, what is it? Is it just the word no? Or I just don't know.
I think with kids with DMDD, you know, it's a lot of times it's like if they feel like a situation is unfair, or if they feel like they're being trapped somehow or being pushed into doing something that they don't want to do. It's really, I mean, I use this analogy a lot where it's really not that different than a toddler. A toddler gets triggered when they think something's not fair. A toddler gets triggered when they need to do something they don't want to do. But they'll grow out of that. And I think that has a lot to do with the, you know, with the dopamine in the frontal lobe. And when that's not there, they're not able to grow out of that. Those triggers stay with them as they get older. And then they'll have this temper tantrum, right? But as they get older, it gets more and more intense. And, you know, eventually it's
a fight or flight.
Yeah, they go into this fight or flight thing. And it's really the basic gist of it, I think, is very similar. When people ask me about it and I say, think about a toddler, think about what triggers a toddler and how they react and how a kid at 8, 9, 10 years old would react in the same way if they don't outgrow that. Now it's a big problem. You know, when it's a toddler, it's a little problem.
And there's also the perception.
You know,
So, you know, the perception's a big piece of this too, and the over emotion. It was described to me that, you know, you could just be having a normal conversation with her without having a happy face, and she could be feeling like it's a negative.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was also described to me that, you know, a child telling her she's ugly could be very, very threatening.
Well,
that could be a trigger.
You know, normal sort of playground stuff all of a sudden turn into a dangerous situation, you know?
And that's so prevalent today, huh? Media, these things here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the social media.
Social media, thank you. Well, you know what you're dealing with here. But my social, do you know if you have an Apple iPhone, you can take pictures with it? I just found that out. Not long ago either.
Your grandson's going to help you shortly. Don't worry. In a year or two, he'll help
someday you. I'll tell you about my son. I had to call out of class to help me one time never mind, we won't go there. I can't say enough good things about your daughter and you and others who could have given up, who could have gone for institutionalization of the child, but you didn't.
Courtney fought.
Courtney's the real hero.
She's a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, she did not give up.
Someday we're going to have Courtney on.
Thankfully, she's able to work two jobs right now and incredibly busy.
Really? And the good piece is, it is the holiday time. It's Hanukkah, it's Christmas, it's Kwanzaa. I think these kinds of stories help build in the season of thankfulness. I mean, there had to be times when all of you just had to throw your hands up and say, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I can't say enough good things about both of you. I really can't. You didn't just accept. There's a lesson here, I think, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, you got to be your own advocate in healthcare. You really do. And that's not saying anything bad about doctors or hospitals or clinics or anything. But, I go to Brigham and Women Hospital for my lungs. And my doctor there, it's a marvelous guy, Dr. Chassel. So he said, well, I'm looking at all your tests. They look pretty good. I said, oh, that's good. He says, now let's get to the real point. How do you feel? Yes. That really impressed me. And that's what I say to you guys. How this has to be like an epiphany for you guys.
Yeah.
To have her come Christmas Day and enjoy Christmas with the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the help, I think, is out there.
Yeah.
People that are dealing with this, it really, we say this all the time, it's like, don't give up. Fight until you find someone that's willing to, willing to really take a look at this protocol. If it's okay, I'd love to share a website.
Sure, please. I was just going to ask you to do that.
Yeah. If anybody is thinks that their child, or if they know a child that may be suffering from this, if this sounds familiar, the best place that you can go, or if you have a kid that has DMDD and you're not able to find the resources for a brain-based treatment, the best place to go is rdmdd.org. It's disruptive. It's revolutionized. Disruptive mood disorder.org. So rdmdd.org. And it has everything you'll ever want to know about the Matthews protocol, his story, all his research is accessible on the website. So you can show it to a doctor. That's what Courtney did. She found this website. She showed this research to her provider. And the provider ultimately, because of this website and this research, was willing to give it a try.
That is so cool. That doctor, I applaud the doctor.
Yep.
And I applaud Courtney. Like you said, I might as well get in trouble. Sometimes you have to be your own advocate. I mean, really and truly, And it's not that they're not good at stuff, but going back to what my doc said, okay, get all the computer tests now. How do you feel? You know, and that's kind of what Courtney and you, and Kim and you guys have done. We don't feel good. We got to fix this child. And boy, you guys jumped into it. Thank your sister too. I mean, when you see somebody, how do I say this tactfully? When people with serious illnesses and diseases or conditions, whatever the term, try to get to a specialist. I mean, not to take the show, but, you know, I have a lung disease that didn't look good here. Went to Boston. That's going to be 7 years in March. And believe me, the diagnosis here was not for 7 years. So I'm very happy about that. So what do you see in the future? This child is back to school. Now, you said one thing, and just kind of elaborate on that, just a hair. exercise or whatever. She's in dance classes, and that's a part of the treatment.
It is. Keeping the brain active is a big piece of this too. So physically active.
Okay.
She needs a lot of activity. She's in 8 dance classes a week. Oh. And she loves it.
Yeah.
She comes here and she's doing all her dances.
Oh, cool.
She's going to be in some competitions, and she is thriving in dance classes. You know, it was March or April that we were on your show last.
Yeah.
And there, back then, there was no way I could ever imagine her being in one dance class, or even Courtney getting her to a dance class. Because they couldn't leave half the time their house because it was unsafe. So, you know, in such a short period of time, we've had all this growth. You know, she was an incredibly overweight child from the hospitalizations and the medications. She's thin and fit and active now. She has friends. My daughter called me a month ago and was in tears and said, "Mom, she has friends and she got invited to a birthday party."
What a milestone.
Mm-hmm.
You're off the little bus. You're getting friends. You're getting invited to parties. You're going to dance class. You are becoming a 10-year-old little girl.
Yes.
She's becoming the person that she always was inside. And she's a sweet little girl.
Yeah.
You know, she's a sweetheart. And she could never be, you know, even seen as the real her, because all people would ever see was this troubled kid that was acting out, and people didn't understand what was going on.
And afraid of it, too.
Afraid of it.
Oh, yeah.
And went along with it.
I can't even imagine the lives your daughter and you two have lived with going places or trying to do things with almost like a time bomb, not knowing what was going to trigger it. But yet you stuck with her, and you did do things with her as your daughter tried to do. And there's, to me, that's the story here. The story is, yes, this DMDD, this beautiful little girl had it, but these folks and her mom, they didn't give up. They just kept pursuing and pursuing and pursuing and pursuing. And now they found it. And now she's, like Tor said, she's the little girl that's always been there. She's just been freed of her chains. Exactly. I can't think of maybe that's not the best way, but
that's exactly it.
It's the only way this old guy can think about it. Because it's, we don't know sometimes what causes the, you know, I worked with violent youthful offenders. And like I told you, hearing some of this, I've always believed that they were traumatized as kiddos. This isn't that. This is an actual, disorder? A disorder.
It is a medical disorder. It's really, I think there's a handful of things that contribute to it, but the main thing is that they found out that it's this dopamine issue with the frontal lobe.
Right. Isn't that amazing, huh?
Yeah.
I guess what I was going to say is that some people have these diseases, disorders, whatever you want to call it. And sometimes you just have to be persistent and go after it and find it. And Tor, would you give the website one more time? Because I didn't get
it. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's Revolutionize DMDD. And the web address is rdmdd.org.
RMD.
Nope. RDMDD. .org.
And the guy is Dr. Matthews.
Yeah, Dr. Matthews was the one who really discovered this combination, this protocol of medicines. There are people, he's since retired. There are people that are continuing his research. There are more and more places that are adapting it, and not so much around here. There are places around here. I think there might be one place in Massachusetts, a hospital. But, you know, it's not always in someone's network, right? It's not
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The famous healthcare network. Listen, thank you both for coming on. Wish your granddaughter, your daughter, at Christmas time, give them a big hug for the old fat ball guy. And that's not Tor. But he has hair. But all kidding aside, I think the world of both of you, you know that. And we're here for you. If your daughter has some free time down the road, whatever, just get a hold of me and we'll do another show, because I think this is important. And to all the folks that are out there, I say to Kim and Tor and all of you, God bless. And please keep this in mind as we end 2022 and start 2023. Let's start taking care of each other. Don't be nasty. The world seems to have gotten really nasty. But let's change it this year. Let's be good to each other. Guys, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for coming on and sharing. This is a wonderful story for Christmas.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, Bill.
Tor, I'll be out there clapping, just like you told me.
All right, I'll look for you.
All right, brother. Take care.
Take care.
You bet. You're the best, both of you. Keep on.